Welcome to the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. My name is Matt Bilyeu. This podcast has the audio portions of our discussions on a Discord server. I certainly recommend joining that server so that you can join in the discussion and see the slides. You can find a link to the server in the show notes. You can also email me at matt.bilyeu, that's B as in boy, I-L-Y-E-U, at reasonablefaith.org. That's matt.bilyeu at reasonablefaith.org. I look forward to chatting with you.
So when we're talking about defeaters for potential beliefs, do these have to be done on a case-by-case basis, or can we categorically say, like, could demonstrate that given certain mental states that, like, let's say that someone says that they're seeing a goblin in their corner, right? And they've found experience, and we can do an MRI and see their brain states in a certain way that's causing them to hallucinate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say a person does this, and they're praying, and they see an angel, and we look at and see the brain state. Do I have to, and so going off of that, can I make the analogy to say, well, because we have a good reason to think the goblin was a hallucination and this person seeing an angel also has a similar brain state, therefore, if one's a hallucination, we can say that the other one is, and therefore, people who see angels, all else being equal, unless there's an
hallucinating
as a category, unless we can find a better reason for that.
No, and that's because an argument like that presumes materialism. And the reason why is if it's possible that we're, you know, substance dualists, in the case of substance dualism, well then there's a mental substance and a physical substance, and saying that something occurs when the physical substance has a particular, you know, reaction or whatever, it's just no argument that there's not something going on in the mental substance. In other words, let's suppose that you could stimulate somebody with electrodes to have a religious experience. Okay.
Which they have done, by the way, but yeah.
Sure. So saying I can cause your brain to report to you that you're having this experience, even when it's not happening, doesn't do anything to say that when I don't have electrodes in my head, that I'm still not experiencing anything. So just being able to simulate my experience of something, like you could potentially put electrodes in my head to make me sense the color blue, to make it make my field of vision go blue. That doesn't mean that whenever I'm looking at blue, it's not legitimate.
Sure. You know, I understand that you could do that with any sense, but then I guess it's like, how would we, I feel like by that standard though, we could never say that someone who was like doing hard drugs, if they were for all, you know, if they were seeing things that we couldn't, we would presume they are hallucinating. But you'd say, well, even though their brain is stimulated by drugs, we can't therefore infer, because we don't assume physicalism, that there can't be something they're really seeing there, right? But I feel like that would be obviously wrong. Like, we would say, no, they are hallucinating. They are tripping on something. They're taking LSD because it's a brain. So I guess, like in those situations, it seems like it would be warranted to say that that's a hallucination. I guess, how do we distinguish between, besides it being incoherent, like, what defeaters would we look for a non, let's just say, non-religiously based hallucination?
Like, how would we establish that? In that case, it would be the drugs.
You can show a correlation in brain states with the drugs. We already said that that's not a criteria, because if dualism is true, then that's irrelevant.
I didn't say that. So, for example, if you could put the electrodes in my head and make me see blue, right? Mm-hmm. So the electrodes in my head would be the counter evidence to my belief that I'm seeing blue. These mm-hmm. electrodes in my head would be the counter evidence to say, okay, well, you shouldn't think that you're seeing blue, because we're stimulating your brain to simulate that experience. Well, if the drugs have the same effect, then I don't see how the drugs, how that sort of counter evidence would work for the drugs or the electrodes, but not the drugs. And so,
right. But I said with the angel example, though, if someone's brain, if we could show that their brain was being not like artificially stimulated, but was showing very similar patterns that resembled what, you know, hallucination stimulations look like, would we not infer that that's what it is? Because, like, I guess, are you saying that it has to be stimulated by an external force in order for us to say it's a hallucination?
So if we can distinguish between it, I don't think we're to this point, but if you're saying that we can distinguish between what the brain does when it's hallucinating a perception and what the brain does when it's processing a perception, mm-hmm. and you can show that somebody having a religious experience, that they are having the hallucination pathways rather than the perception pathways, then yeah, that might be for that experience and for that person, that might be counter evidence. But you know, again, like I'm not sure it works that way. My suspicion is that there's a pathway of perception, and it can sometimes be activated inappropriately, such as with LSD, in which case that wouldn't be a counterexample. That would just show that, yeah, you can simulate those illegitimately. But that doesn't mean that any stimulation is illegitimate, just because it can be stimulated illegitimately.
Right, because all brain states are stimulations of chemicals somehow. Yeah, so I agree with that. Okay, yeah. That clarification was helpful. But so if that were the case, though, so then you would, if we were able to show that people were doing that, are you saying we would have to go in and show that every single person who's having a lucid experience has that simulation, or we couldn't, like if we had a sample size, would that be enough? Or would you have to say, well, I haven't been MRI'd yet, so I can trust mine unless there's like a direct defeater? Or should a person saying, well, now that I know that people are seeing similar things to me and they're hallucinating, I should question my own belief of seeing something that's, you know, with all its purpose.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of obvious that it would have to be each person, because think about it this way. Like, you know that it's the case that people have dreams, and that sometimes they believe that what's happening in the dream is real, that it's not a dream, that like within the dream they think that it's real.
Yeah.
Right now you're in life and you think that it's real and not a dream. So does the fact that sometimes people are wrong, does that give you reason to think that you're wrong? And in the same way, like, because some people do have weird brain things going on, does that mean that I think that my brain is working improperly? Like, that doesn't give me reason to think that I'm working improperly, just because it's possible that it's working improperly.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess the hallucination point in the is kind of what's getting on me, like, because it's not like have to, and it's not even like that we can stimulate hallucinations, because I agree with you there that's, and we can do that with all senses, but I think just the point that the brain can put itself, like if people are fasting or, you know, or they're in extreme emotional states, like I guess if you could show just a completely
certainly the case. I am not a charismatic person, and so I have great skepticism, with all due respect to the charismatics out there. I think even a lot of them would agree that at least it's at least sometimes put on and people work themselves up into experiencing something that's not legitimate.
But so if you don't have a direct defeater for that, but if there's not a direct defeater for that theologically or evidentially, though, shouldn't they believe it all else being equal?
What do you mean all else being equal? So yes, if I worked myself up into a further fervor, then yeah, I shouldn't necessarily trust my perceptions in such a state. But if I'm not working myself up into a further, then why should I distrust myself then? You know, it's like I'm not on LSD. So just because people see things when they're on LSD, I'm not on LSD.
Well, they're right, but a lot of Pentecostals see things that are not on LSD, right? I mean, like,
well, I agree that I'm using that as an analogy. So the metaphor there is somebody who's worked themselves up into a further versus somebody who takes LSD. Well, I'm doing neither. And so just like I'm not on LSD makes the LSD person not a defeater, the fact that I haven't worked myself up into a fervor makes the, you know, not a fervor person, you know, it's not a defeater. Does that make sense?
I think it does, yeah. I think so.
The fact that some people can work themselves up, and I believe do, doesn't mean that everybody who has an experience has worked themselves up. And so it wouldn't be a global defeater just because some people can do that. And
okay, so
some
people maybe do. Maybe a better way of asking then, because I think I have a better understanding now. So are you saying that, like, let's say that a person just claims a religious experience, should we then try to like first put controls and ask, like, were you on any drugs? Did you sleep? Did you get enough food? And like basically check off the other options to, like, we basically set the criteria for, here's how we would establish someone probably hallucinating or probably misperceiving something. Check those boxes off to make sure that those don't apply in this case for all that we can tell. And then all else being equal, if we don't have those defeaters, then we would say, okay, maybe there's a legitimate perception there. Is that maybe a better way of saying it?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be the case that if somebody tells you something, you're going to have to take into account the the believability of the person telling you, right? So like,
sure, if they're a trustworthy person.
Yeah, and so, you know, if somebody seems to be telling me the truth, then, you know, they seem reasonable, then I'm not going to believe they're a crazy person. You know, but again, a lot of this is like the believer's own belief in their experience. I think that it can be because we generally accept testimony. We don't assume in advance that testimony is lying or deceitful or misunderstood. You know, generally when somebody gives testimony, we believe them. And so I do think there's a sense in which these religious experiences can count as evidence, even for somebody who doesn't have them from a testimonial standpoint. But I guess the focus of the actual presentation itself was the believer who has such an experience is justified on the basis of their experience for their belief, not necessarily that you should be justified based on my experiences, if that makes sense.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you find these podcasts helpful, please subscribe and share them with a friend. Also, please join our Discord server for live discussions. You can find the server link in the show notes along with my email address. I'll see you next time.